Good morning, all. I'd like to welcome everyone along to our service this morning in Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. To our online audience as well, we are glad you can join us this morning, and we pray that God might bless you as you listen online. We give a special welcome to our preacher today, Reverend Raymond McLaren. Our brother is a retired minister of our Bush Mills congregation, and we are glad that he's able to come along today. We were blessed by his preaching here in times past, and we pray that God might bless him again today. It's also good to welcome along his wife this morning. We pray that God might bless her as well today as you fellowship with us. Please remember this afternoon in Ocker at 3:30, their afternoon service conducted by the Reverend Anderson. If you cannot get along, then remember to pray for them. Our evening service here in the church at the usual time of 7 p.m, preceded by our time of prayer, and the Reverend McLaren will be along this evening again to bring us a message in the gospel. Our prayer meeting and Bible study at the usual time of 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Reverend Romerod will be along on Wednesday to conduct our Bible study and prayer meeting. On Thursday night, baptismal service at Oma Free Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m, and all are welcome to go along to that service in our Oma congregation. On Friday night, the ordination installation of Mr. Matthew Higgins to the Gospel Ministry in our Lima Valley Church. That service will be taking place in Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. You're invited to go along there if you can. If you can't, remember our brother Mr. Higgins as he commences his ministry in our Lima Valley congregation. Next Sunday, service at the usual times, Sunday school at 10:30, our morning service at 11:30 and 7 o'clock for our evening service, both times preceded by the usual times of prayer. Reverend Romerod will be along next Sunday to preach at both services. Then remember the special driving mission being conducted in Achnacloy at the Scout Hall car park Monday through to Friday at 7:30. We leave all these services with you, continuing to remember them all in prayer. Thank you.
I do thank Mr. Anderson for the kind words of welcome. It is good to be with you. I'm grateful to your minister for allowing us the opportunity to share fellowship with you today. I trust the Lord will come near and bless his word to our hearts. A gathering like this is just as important to the Lord as a gathering of thousands. So be encouraged. We're in the Lord's house, and we've come that we might hear his word. I trust it will be a blessing to you. We're going to commence by turning to the Psalm number 34. Psalm 34, page 30 of your hymn book. God, will I bless all times, his praise my mouth shall still express. We're singing the verses numbered 1 to 9. It constitutes 5 verses, numbers 1 to 9, standing together as we sing, please. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 9. Let's all stand.
Thank you.
Let's bow together, please, in the attitude of prayer. Seek the Lord's face for his blessing. And let's encourage each one. You should pray, beloved. Lord, come, minister to my heart today. Thank God the Lord knows every need. He knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. And it's good to be able to cast our care upon him. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, it is with rejoicing we bow in thy sacred presence. We thank thee, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath morning, for the desire to come up to the house of the Lord to meet with those of like precious faith. We come, Lord, and we offer to thee the praise, the adoration of our hearts. Oh, when we count our many blessings, surely it surprises us what the Lord has done for these souls of ours. We can say with the psalmist, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. We thank the Lord we can, in this troublesome old world, we can cast all our care upon him, knowing he cares for us. We thank the Lord that thou knowest each heart, thou knowest each soul bowed now in thy presence. We thank thee for bringing us together. We rejoice in this open door here in Six Mile Cross. We thank thee for the witness of this house down through the years. And we pray that thou'll draw near to us afresh today. May thy presence be felt among us. We ask of thee for that preparation of heart and mind that belongeth unto God. We pray, Lord, you'll bless every child of God. As our faces differ, so do our needs. But we thank thee that every need is met in Christ. Thank you, Lord, you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The psalmist said here, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And we thank the Lord for your good hand upon us, aye, down through our lives. How many times, Lord, have we been spared from danger and maybe weren't even aware of it. Many times have we come to thee with various difficulties and problems, and we have found that the Lord is able to meet every need. Oh, we rejoice in all that we have in Christ today. We thank thee we have in him a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come today, minister unto our hearts. We ask that thou wilt meet each individual at the point of his or her need. And thank you, Lord, for enablement, for health and strength that allows us to be here. And our hearts go out today to those who would dearly love to be in God's house, but because of infirmity of one kind or another, they're unable to be in attendance. We pray for them. Maybe some watching in today, we pray that thou wilt draw near. Whatever the circumstances, may each one get a word in season from thyself. May that word prove to be a blessing to all of our hearts. Remember those, Lord, who need that special touch in the body. Remember those who in recent times have lost a dear one. And hearts are heavy today. There's an empty seat in a home there. And our prayer is, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and that thy beloved children will prove that thy grace is sufficient for every trying hour. We're glad, Lord, we can cast ourselves upon thee and find comfort through thy word, strength to meet each new day, grace to press on the upward way. We pray, Lord, let us never get down under our circumstances. We could look at the state of the land or the state of this world today. And Lord, there is much that would depress us. But we thank thee when we turn our eyes upon Christ. When we look into his wonderful face, all the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to visit even this land in these times. We cry to thee, Lord, for a move of thy Holy Spirit. We recognize that conditions have been such over this last couple of years that people have become discouraged and disheartened, and maybe some have got out of the habit of coming to God's house, and it's hard to break that habit. We pray that there might be that drawing, that renewing of desire after thyself, that thou wouldst cause thy people to run after thee, to seek the Lord for fresh encouragement and filling, for fresh blessing. Come, Lord, do our souls good. Bless every home that's represented in this meeting time. We pray that thou wilt warm our hearts, lead us out after thyself, may we go away from this house today glad that we came, knowing that the Lord has met with us and that thy word has proved to be a blessing to our souls. And we ask, Lord, for every sister congregation up and down the land. We thank thee for every door that's open today for the preaching of thy truth. Prosper that word, we pray thee. Remember Mr. Ormerod as he ministers today in Market Hill. We pray for him the anointing of God, and Lord, that you would make him to be a blessing to the people there and all across the province and further afield. We ask that thou wilt prosper thy truth. Thou hast said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, these are times when we really need to see a move of thy Holy Spirit. Wickedness abounds in every hand, but we thank thee that grace does much more abound. And we pray that even this day, through the proclamation of thy truth, God's people will be blessed, that maybe backsliders or those who have become careless or disheartened, that they might be drawn into that sweeter relationship with thyself. And for those who will sit under the sound of thy word today, who have never taken their first steps on the Christian pathway, still in sin, come into a meeting in a sinful condition and leave bigger sinners than they came. We pray, Lord, that thou will give grace today and draw precious souls unto thyself, that in all these things Christ himself would be glorified and thy kingdom extended. Come, we pray thee. Oh, receive our thanks, Lord, for all thy mercies. Thank you for the blessings we enjoy. I sometimes maybe even take for granted. And we thank thee, thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift. We pray that thou wilt bless our souls today. Lead us out after thyself. Do us good. Make us to be a blessing the one to the other. Grant that in all things Christ will have all the preeminence, that his name might be magnified. We offer our prayers with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing, please, from the hymn 561. 561, fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. 561, we'll stand again as we sing, please. Let's all stand. Can we invite you to turn, please, for scripture reading to the book of Judges, chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, reading a few verses from the opening verse. Verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Amen. May the Lord bless these verses to our hearts for his name's sake. With God's word open before us, let's just unite our hearts for a moment in prayer. Our Father, as we turn to thy word, we are conscious that there's always something in thy word that would direct us to thyself. We pray for help as we meditate upon it even now. We ask that thou wilt do our souls good. Pray that thou wilt bless this word to us. Give utterance in the things of God. We ask, Lord, that there be something here that would encourage the believer today to press on in the upward way. Something that would challenge some who maybe have lost out with the Lord. Maybe their feet have wandered. Maybe some are caught up with earthly things. They've lost their vision, that heavenly vision. Oh, we pray, whatever the circumstances, Lord, just tune our hearts to thee and cause us now to hear thy speaking voice. Make this word to be a blessing to our souls, we ask of thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges 14, verse 9. Speaking of Samson, it says, He took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with the history, or at least some of it. This man, Samson, a man noted for his strength. Though it's a great pity that he wasted so much of his energy running after the things of the flesh. Regrettably, the man left only a legacy of regret, for he's remembered more for what he might have been rather than what he actually was. He was sent from God, equipped by God to fulfill God's purpose, the time in which he lived. In his life, he could have strengthened the nation. He could have returned the people to the worship of God. He could have wiped out the Philistines for God. But the man squandered his talents on practical jokes and relinquished his strength altogether by running after that woman that he had fallen in love with. Nevertheless, he did begin to rescue Israel. For in his final act, God still used him to slay more of the enemy than he did all the days that he lived. It's interesting to note that the New Testament doesn't mention his failures or his heroic feats of strength. In Hebrews 11, that great chapter of faith, he simply listed with others who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and obtained promises. He recognized his dependence upon God. And when he died, God turned his failures and defeats into victory. His story would teach us that it's never too late to start over. And this should be an encouragement to any believer who feels that maybe he hasn't been at his best for God, or if he feels he's let the Lord down somewhere along life's way. God can still give his child some task to do before he's called home. I don't want to dwell on Samson's failures or his triumphs today, but I want to look at this incident where he slew the lion with his bare hands, and then later found honey within the carcass and that swarm of bees. It surely was an outstanding circumstance that an unarmed man should slay a lion, considering its strength. As you can imagine, birds of prey and various other creatures would very soon devour the flesh off the bone of that dead animal. They could leave that lion's frame almost as clean as if it had been to the meat plant. What is every bit as strange is the fact that a swarm of bees should arrive and use the lion's rib cage as a hive to place their honey. And of course, it wasn't long before the matter was made the subject of a riddle. But in this incident with the lion and the carcass and the honey, it was something that offers encouragement and a challenge to God's people for the age in which we live. And I trust as we look at this for a few moments, the Lord will be pleased to minister his word to our hearts with profit and blessing. Three things I want to consider. Firstly, there's the believer's conflicts. Now, you can picture Samson here. He's on his way back from Timnath. He comes via the vineyards to that place where he had some time earlier slain this lion. We're not told exactly how long it was in that place. Verse 8 just says that it was after a time. Was it a week? Was it a month? Was it a number of weeks? We're not told. But he passes the place. As he's coming by there, the carcass is lying, and on taking that closer look, he discovers the bees have moved in. And there's an abundance of honey already in the hive. I don't know if anybody works with bees. How long does it take bees to produce a hive full of honey? I don't know. But they did it anyway. But in the slaying of that beast of prey, Samson is really a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered that enemy that continues to roar against the child of God. The one that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's Satan, of course. But Samson took that honey from the carcass of the lion. In other words, the lion's dead. He's the one that slew it. It's only after it had died that the sweetness could be enjoyed. And that reminds us that Christ had to die before the believer can enjoy the sweetness of his so great salvation. His note of triumph on the cross was, "It is finished." Thank God for the finished work of Calvary. And today he stands in the midst of his church with his hands full of sweetness and consolation. To each of us who believes in him, he gives the luscious food that he has prepared for us by the overthrow of our enemies. And he bids us come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. But there's another parallel here in Samson, and that is that the believer has to take on in this life the lions of this world. To become a believer is to enlist in the Lord's army and to enter upon a pilgrimage where the road's often rough, hills are steep. Dark valleys have to be traversed while giants block the way, and thieves and robbers lurk around every corner. Oh, we don't have to go about worrying about actual hooded men at every turn. But there are adversaries all around us that are out to do us damage spiritually. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you consider some of the legislation that's on our statute books today, and you'll understand spiritual wickedness in high places. What with the whole sodomite business and abortion and so on, there are things on our books today that we never would have dreamed would ever be there, but they are. You know, if parents aren't careful today, they could actually lose their children. If you do what the scripture commands you to do in the bringing up of children, you'd find yourself in trouble with the law. They're campaigning for the banning of the smacking of children. I'm sure you know all about it. But that's only one instance, and that is commanded in Scripture. We're to use the rod. It doesn't mean you hammer the life out of the child, but it's to be instructed. Children today are being robbed of the right to discipline. And that's what I mean. If you were brought up under the rod, well, didn't it do you good? Isn't that why you are what you are today? But they want to take that away from society, and they want children, and every child's supposed to know what's good for himself. Yet the scripture says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. They've got very far away from God, and the whole tenor of society today is so anti-God. The spirit of Antichrist is all around us. We need to be much in prayer. Why are these things being foisted upon us? Why are we compelled to accept what is against our consciences and totally anti-God? Where's the democracy in that? We now have a conflict on our hands, and God's people need to be praying against this wickedness. Where Samson was concerned, God intended for him to smite the Philistines and check their proud oppression of Israel. God had this young man born for that purpose. And this run-in with the lion was just an early lesson in conflict. It was no accident that he met with that creature. God brought about the circumstances to demonstrate to Samson just what he could do through his servant. And isn't it true, beloved, sometimes circumstances come across our path and wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I being brought down this road? Listen, the Lord knows what he's doing. And if you are surrendered to his will, then whatever happens, just remember he's in control. And even if you can't see the end result, the end product, the Lord knows what he's doing. He has a purpose for your life, and that is to show to you what the Lord can do in and through you. This lion that Samson slew, well, it's described in verse 5 as a young lion. That's not to say that it was just a cub. On the contrary, it's one that was full of strength. It was probably the worst kind of beast that any man could face. And isn't it so that it's young men who meet with the strongest temptations in this life? The Christian life isn't a child's play, it's a battleground. And if you have trusted Christ for salvation, you're going to have to face enemies that are out to bring you down spiritually. I was immensely encouraged on the evening of Good Friday to see so many young people gathered up in the martyrs for that convention meeting. Somebody estimated about 70% of the congregation that Friday night were young people. That blessed our souls. But young people, you have a war in your hands. Well, we all have, irrespective of the age. This world is against the child of God, and these are days when we need to stand up and be counted. Maybe somebody will put some doubt into your mind about a particular area of Christian doctrine. And if you haven't got your armor on, then you may be led into a situation where you grieve the Lord and miss that blessing that he has for you. You may be tested as to how you will keep the Sabbath day, or as to whether you will be found in certain establishments where the ungodly hang out, or whether you will participate in their sinful practices or have the courage to to turn the other way. There are 101 possible scenarios as to how your faith may be tried. But you need to know that, well, you need to know God. And you need to know what strength he has made available to you. What if another child of God does something to hurt you? Something for whom you, or somebody for whom you've always had a great respect. What if that one does something that really knocks your confidence? What are you going to do? How do you handle it? What if you lose someone very dear to you? Can you cope with that? Such things are designed to help us to help others when they come to pass that way. These are some of the lions that we have to wrestle with for our own strengthening. And unfortunately, they too often come upon us when we feel least prepared to face them. Samson wasn't out hunting wild beasts. He was walking in the vineyards, enjoying the solitude, taking in the goodness of God in the place of fruit bearing. And the last thing he's probably thinking of was a lion coming at him. But verse 5 has it that was at that point, it was in those tranquil conditions that the young lion roared against him. That word roared, it means to rumble or moan against. That beast would have had Samson for lunch if God hadn't given him the strength to take it on. I make no mistake about it, beloved. Satan would have you and me for dinner if we didn't have the Holy Spirit within us. We can never afford to be slack about our walk with God. Little wonder Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're no match for that. Verse 6 here tells us that Samson had nothing in his hand when that fierce beast came at him. Humanly speaking, he was in big trouble. A lion's not to be messed with. This wasn't a kitten. This was an adversary no man would want to tackle in his own strength. And the same applies where our spiritual conflict is concerned. But this is where the child of God benefits. For he can say that with the Apostle John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Let the believer take encouragement here that with God's strength at your disposal, you can overcome every adversary that comes against you. And the apostles say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beloved, don't get downhearted because things are against you. Look up and draw that strength from the Lord who has promised it. And you notice, Samson didn't chase that lion away, nor did he run away from it. He faced it head on, took it by the throat, and slew it. And there was always the danger that that thing could have ripped him to pieces. But God had empowered him. This wasn't human. This wasn't natural strength. This was the Lord working through an individual. Maybe you've been faced with some proposition or other, and you're thinking, I could never take that on. Not in your own strength. But if the Lord calls you to do something, he'll give you the strength you need to face it. How do you deal with these agents of Satan that are out to bring you down? How do you take them on? Trust in the Lord for the strength and power. And you'll become an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Never allow yourself, beloved, to live in defeat. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't look to yourself. Look to him who has never lost a fight yet. The second thought is the believer's comfort. And thank God the Christian life isn't always about killing lions. It's about eating honey as well. But you notice when the honey came to Samson, it came after he had got the victory over the lion. Doesn't that suggest that if you want to taste the sweetness of Christ, you'll enjoy him most when you get the victory over that adversary that has come against you? You allow the devil to get you down, you'll never enjoy the Lord. But let him lead you to victory and come and taste and see. The Lord is good. You do battle with the devil's temptation. Lean upon Christ to see you through. Trust the Holy Spirit to give you the courage to help you resist the devil. And beloved, victory is sweet. If you buckle under temptation, You're not going to enjoy any sweetness. Rather, you'll be left with a bitter taste in your mouth. But the sweetness of his blessing on your soul makes all the resistance you can muster well worth the effort. What could be sweeter than honey? What's more joyful than the joy of the believer? This world has nothing to touch it. Oh yes, the world has its laughter, but it's all hollow and empty. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 6 reads, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool." This also is vanity. What's the crackling of thorns under a pot? Isn't it the sound of their own destruction? But the delight of the Christian, it's like a steady coal fire. Isn't it nice on a cold winter's night to sit down in front of an open fire and see the grate full of coals glowing red and giving out such welcoming warmth? When you walk into a room and see that, it's like somebody just threw their arms around you. It's so welcoming. You feel warm and wanted. Well, that's how the Christian should radiate the warmth of Christian love. Do we know what it is to cry for joy? If we could just see into heaven and get a glimpse of what our Lord is preparing for us, even at this minute, I think we'd be bursting with exuberance at the prospect that one day soon we're going to be over there to enjoy it all. Christ is the fullness of joy to his people. And when we are bidden enjoy him to the full. In Psalm 19, David says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And then he brings all these attributes together and says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Samson found a honeycomb. It was like a spring of honey. So abundant was the supply that he was able to take huge chunks of it and carry it in his hands, and he was able to share it with his father and his mother. Beloved, isn't Christ worth sharing with others? Isn't the word of God like a great honeycomb? Your Bible is like a swarm of bees that make honey in the form of the promises of Scripture. What could be sweeter than to know that all your sins have been blotted out, and your name's written in heaven, and those things will never be remembered against you ever again? Thank God, where the child of God is concerned, that old lion of sin is dead. No longer lives where the true believer lives. Christ has made full atonement. Praise the Lord. You know, if you were to wrong your neighbor over something, whether intentionally or not, you might never live it down. Your neighbor might dwell on it as long as he lives, and every time you meet him, even though you've apologized for it, if he's the wrong kind of neighbor, you might still detect that bitterness of spirit, that bad taste in the mouth. But God? God doesn't hold grudges. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." When the Lord buries the hatchet, he doesn't leave the handle sticking out. Doesn't that taste like honey, to know that your sins are gone, will never be remembered against you again? Another lion that's killed off is that of sinful desire. A man saved by the grace of God, he becomes a new creature in Christ. The old desires, the old habits, the old yearnings after sinful things, they disappear. Gone is the hankering after the liquor and the nicotine. He's got a better taste in his mouth now, the taste of honey, the honey of God's word. And there are many lions of similar annoyance that are put to death when a man meets with Christ. But perhaps the strongest lion of them all is the lion of death. Yet where the believer's concerned, he can face that foe with confidence and know that he's already got the victory over that one, for he knows that when his time comes for departure from this world, it'll be like honey to his taste. There's no pain in death. Pain all comes before death. For the believer, death is just transferring accommodation, carried into the bosom of Abraham, God's paradise. The apostle could boldly say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Now the believer can look forward with delight to the departing this life, for he knows what awaits him on the other side. It'll be the sweetest honey he's ever tasted, even sweeter than anything he tasted on earth. Beloved, this is reality. And of course, honey's good for you. It's good for helping, so they tell me, to control cholesterol. I could probably do with more of it. It's a good medicine, both internally and externally. You may know somebody who suffers diabetes, and if they get an open cut, they have to be very, very careful, because, well, you know, I'm sure you know, when somebody has a wound, a diabetic has an open wound, sometimes it takes ages to heal. But I'm told that if you rub on it, Mamuka honey, comes from New Zealand, and you'll get it in health shops. You rub that on an open sore, a diabetic, and that is a great healer, Mamukan honey. That's by the way. But just as natural honey is good for the body, so the honey of the gospel is sweet medicine for the soul. Brings comfort, such comfort to the believer. But lastly here, there's the believer's commission. What did Samson do with the honey? What did he find in the carcass of that lion? He immediately shared it with others. Isn't it so that as soon as a man is saved, he wants to tell somebody? Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, he's tasted the sweet honey of forgiveness. The delights of God flood his soul. He has an inner peace that he can't explain. There's a new joy bursting forth in his soul that he can't contain. The burden of sin is lifted. He must tell it out. It's too sweet to keep it all to himself. Are you sharing Christ, beloved, with other people? I mean, do they know how sweet he is to you? I don't think it's possible to be a secret disciple. I was knocking doors in Bush Mills a couple of years back and got into conversation with a man, and I sort of detected that I think this man's a Christian. And it came to the point where I put it to him. I said, "Tell me, are you saved?" We said, "I am, but we don't talk about it the way you fellows do." And I said, "Shame on you. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell it out. If the Lord has saved you, is it not worth broadcasting? Why would you want to hide it?" 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And by failing to own him when circumstances allow, then we deny him. Now, it doesn't mean that you stop everybody in the street and say, "Listen here, I'm saved." It doesn't mean that. But when the Lord gives you opportunity, don't try to hide the fact that you belong to him. If he's going to own you one day, before his Father's face in glory, it's a privilege for you to own him down here. Matthew 10:33, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Listen, you deny Christ when you fail to own him. But notice where Samson first shared this honey with his parents. He started at home. Isn't that always the hardest place to bear witness? Why is that? It's because that's where people really know you best. And if you tell your family you've got saved, well, some of them may be hurt because, well, it means they must now acknowledge their own sinful condition. They don't want to do that. They may try to persuade you that now you're going to miss out when they go out for their social occasions and you don't want to go with them because that's not the place where a child of God goes. Yes, it brings difficulties. We understand that. But that's when you need God's strength with you. But don't you want your loved ones to taste this honey as well? Telling other people what Christ has done for you, it's the first thing to make you stronger. And then you can pray for your loved ones. Don't have to preach at them. But let them see that you've got the taste of this honey. And let there be sweetness in your witness. Samson found this honey out in the vineyard. And so he just brought it to his parents in his hands. And somebody says, well, would it not have been better if he put it in a nice dish? He didn't have a dish. He was walking through the vineyard. He had nothing with him. He didn't run about with a bowl under his arm. He didn't have any. He used what he had, his own hands. And he was able to share the honey that means. Beloved, couldn't you do that? Just take a Bible in your hands or a gospel tract. Do what you can. Use what you have to share the honey of God's word. And you notice too that Samson was modest about what had occurred. He shared the honey, but he never told his parents about the lion. He wasn't boasting about the fact that he had slain that lion on a previous occasion. Never named it. He wasn't looking a pat on the back. He simply brought them the honey. Taste and see. Isn't this good? Some people, if they killed a fly, they would have to broadcast it. Look what I did. Samson never said a word about the lion. Didn't the Lord tell people to do their alms in secret and he would reward openly? The Holy Spirit has broadcast Samson's modesty. You know, there's a note of caution here as we finish. Samson later made a riddle about the lion and the honey. But it was a riddle that ended in fighting and bloodshed. Some clever Christians want to make riddles of God's word. They come up with difficult questions on various doctrines that are of no real benefit to other people. Far better it is that you just be content to share the honey of the word. Tell somebody how sweet the Lord Jesus is to your soul. And if through the sweetness of the gospel you influence somebody for heaven, won't your heaven be all the sweeter when you meet them there? Tell me, have you tasted the honey, beloved? If you have, will you share it with somebody as you walk through the vineyard of this world? Well, may the Lord encourage you to do so. May you enjoy the sweet taste of Christ. Don't let this world get you down. I know every time you turn the news on, it's bad news. We recognize that. But let us look up. We don't belong. Child of God doesn't belong in this world. We're only passing through. And no matter what you may achieve for your own benefit, one day you'll leave it all behind. And it's only what's done for Christ that'll count for anything in eternity. If you've tasted the honey, go out and share it. Let others see how sweet he is to your taste. And encourage others to come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thinking about honey, the Jews have an old, well, used to have, maybe, I don't know, maybe still have an old practice, teaching children to read the Word of God. The parents would take something like a match, dip it in honey, and they would underline an important word in the Scripture. And you know, when a child's learning to read, he's going along with the finger. and they follow the words. We've seen children do it, probably did it ourselves. And he comes to that word, ooh, that tastes good. I like that word. Maybe it's the word salvation, maybe it's redemption, maybe it's repentance, whatever it is. But this is how the Jews taught their children to enjoy the word of God, underlining certain words with the honey. Tastes good, like the taste of God's word. You enjoying God's word, beloved? You read it every day? Do you let it work? Do you allow it to govern your thinking? Your whole purpose in life? Now, that's what this book's for, you know. Basic instruction before leaving earth. Your Bible. Oh, beloved, ask the Lord for a good appetite for the honey. Taste it, enjoy it, and go and share it. And look to the Lord to bless your labors, to encourage you and make you to be a blessing to other people as you meet them in this old world. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts and encourage us to press on and enjoy the Lord while we are here. Let's turn in closing, please, to the hymn 490. 490, take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. 490, we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's all stand. Our Father, we ask thee to take what's of thyself, write thy word upon our hearts. Oh, encourage every believer today, we pray thee, Lord, for those who have tasted that the Lord is good, we've seen it, we've enjoyed the honey, we pray, Lord, lead each believer on to higher ground. Give us that fresh burden, that clear vision of those who are perishing all around us. And give us the willingness to be used for thy glory. If some, Lord, have to confess the coldness of heart, then we pray for a breath of reviving. Maybe some don't know the Lord. Oh, draw them even this day into that sweet relationship with thyself. Lord, make thy people to be a rejoicing people. Remember the meeting this evening? We pray that thou wilt draw the right people in. Aye, we recognize, Lord, on a beautiful day like this, the last place some people would be thinking is a gospel meeting. But we pray, nevertheless, thou wilt have thine own way. Draw souls in under the sound of thy word. Own that meeting for thine own glory. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favor. We ask in Jesus' name.